All right, guys, before today's episode, just a quick reminder that tickets are still available for our next live show at the Pavilion Theatre on Sunday, the 31st of March. It is fast approaching and the tickets are going fast as well, so please do snap them up if you want to come along. And as ever, guys, what else can people do?
Support us on Patreon. Yes. From as little as £3 a month, you will get a bonus episode once every 2 weeks. They're always a lot of fun, aren't they, boys? The three of us just hanging out. Fun.
Shooting the shit. Classical, some laugh. Classical.
Yeah, some people say they prefer just us three instead of the guests, so that's where you'll get that more over there.
Yes. Although we do have great guests, including on today's episode.
Yes.
Of course. Of course. You'll get amazing guests, but if you are one of the people who prefer just the boys, that's where it'll be.
Aye. Yes.
You also get access to the live shows that we've recorded in the past from London, Edinburgh and Glasgow, and you'll get early dibs on tickets for future events like work in progress shows and live podcasts.
Absolutely. And finally, as you'll know, all three of our specials are available on the Some Laugh YouTube channel as well, so check them out if you haven't already. Free hours of stand-up for fuck all. So
dishing out a lot of free content.
Yes, that's it. Don't say we're no good to you. That's all we're saying. But if you'd like to be good to us and good to yourself, treat yourself to a wee Easter treat. Come along to the Pavilion. Maybe we'll see you there. But aside from that, guys, enjoy today's episode.
Enjoy.
Welcome to the Some Laugh Podcast.
It could be like, oh, that was some laugh, or there was just some laughs. Some laughs.
Well, no promising all laugh.
No, there's going to be some.
It's some laugh. Last time I seen you was the comedians party in London. Do you remember much of that?
I think I was better at that one. I was the Radio 4 one. I fell down the stairs, and then I went to the Northwest. Went to that Northwest comedy one. But because it's always like just the frog and bucket wins everything that way, I'm not asked. So, but I don't drink. Like the problem is, everyone in comedy just sees me piss all the time. But I only get drunk at gigs. No, not at gigs. You know, but I mean like at events or things with people from away from it. But I don't drink at home anymore. And I used to drink so much that now my body just can't. So I can't. I've not found out what my drinks are yet at the age of 42. Yeah. So I can't figure it out, get the mix right. So I just got. I mean, I had like four drinks. I was shit faced at the Northwest one. And it's so bad that I got up on stage to make. I won one, didn't expect. So I had to go up and talk. But I can't remember what I said. It didn't make any sense. And then I went back up to apologise for how bad it was. Then I walked off, then fell over an open spot who's in a wheelchair. Spilt my drink of wine all over him, but then got stuck between him and a wall. It was horrible.
The thing for you, Phil, oh, by the way, can you put that?
Oh, right? Yeah, sorry. I should save all this for the budge.
We have started, but...
No, have we started? Come and see me on tour. Especially, I always make sure I've got wheelchair access. I can fall all over.
Your kind of character, though, that is like every, like, all that stuff happening and going wrong. People would just look and go, ah, it's just Phil. Like, that's
doing a bit.
Yeah.
Assaulting an open spot in a wheelchair. That's Phil's thing, isn't it?
Very avant garde.
Yeah, funny. Yeah. It's just making him flammable. But yeah, it was horrible. Yeah, I don't know what. But yeah, so you saw me the one in London.
Aye.
Yeah. And that was what I think I was all right. I think I was drunk, but I was like being really positive. I think I was trying to be like, hey, everyone's great. And I think I kind of left. Oh, no, maybe I thought I left early than I did. Got a feeling you're going to go, no, Phil, you were awful.
Well, what I remember
Phil
about
over
it...
Phil for two wheelchairs that week.
Is that, so there's some place, they were all trying to figure out where they were going after it, and everybody's like, well, let's go to Jerry's, and then everyone's like, no, we can't go to Jerry's because Phil's got his own bar.
Yeah, I did get him on bar. But...
What did you do?
I don't know.
Oh.
No one knows, really. And then Paul Ricketts, comedian, you know Paul, well, he's told me it wasn't my fault. But apparently everyone decided that it was my fault.
Right.
But I remember this place in London, it was so horrible. Like, I went there once years ago with Mick Ferry and a couple of people, and it was only us in there. It was only four of us. And it's like one of these bars where you have to be like, oh, yeah, do you know? And they have a little shutter on the door, and it's like, you come downstairs, and it's... We went there, there's only us, and someone on the piano playing like Elton John songs. So we were just singing Rocket Man, and she came over and told us all to shut up. And I went, but there's no one else in here. So I thought we were just... She went, it's not karaoke. I went, oh, right, sorry. And then she went, and are you going to buy a drink or what to my friends? And then he went, yeah, I went, right, okay. And that was it. So she, and that night they were quite rude.
No.
And I probably said something, but I can't remember what. But apparently we got barred. But so no one could go back there. It's fine. But I think, so this year I was very good and just like being positive with everyone, you know, aye, being nice. Until Milo McCabe always wants me to get drunk and aggressive. He calls it Dark Phil. Because I said to him once, I went, you don't want to see Dark Phil. And he was like, oh yeah, I want to see Dark Phil. So he kept, I went, well, don't buy me whiskey. And he just kept sneaking whiskey into my drinks.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, basically I was spiked by Milo. And then, I mean, Dark Phil came out. I mean, he was, I don't know what he did, but I think he just ended up shouting at the promoter, I think. Dark Phil's not fun. Like, it's not like crazy. What's he going to do? It's just me going, you can fly. I never like you. And then wake up in the field.
It's Dark Phil that's barred.
Phil's barred. Phil, I can go in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not been my case if I have to have good, if I have to be a serial killer. But, so Milo turned up with like Elliot and everyone. They were like, oh, let's get Dark Phil. I went, oh no. He goes, come on, because I was being quite positive. I thought, I was trying to tell everyone how great I thought
this
I was
must have been before I got
I thought I was really good at that one. I was very good. Yeah, you were in really good mood. Just tell everyone how good the stuff was. I was like, yeah, yeah. I thought I'd bring a bit of positivity. And it turns out I must be.
Because I think the first thing I said to you is, how's things been since you get nominated? You just went,
oh, yeah, not positive about myself. I think I've just plugged your mic in, by the way. It's probably in already.
Oh. Yeah, it's what I still want.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. No, don't worry about it. Just got a third in media. I thought I'd use it. but so Milo was like, I want you to be negative. So, of course, Troy Hawk's just blown up massively.
Yeah.
So I went, oh, yeah. I said, oh, yes. And I went, I'm not going to do it. He went, oh, come on, let's get done. I went, all right, then join this. Yeah, I think maybe change out. Let's have the Goodbye Guild instead of the Greeters Guild, because that act's done its course, hasn't it? I think it's run it, haven't it? Hello, hello. Do you want to see the same joke again? Hello, welcome to the same joke. Well, let's have the Goodbye Guild. So I went, fucking hell, milk it. So I did that. Then I went round. Then I went to
that
Elliot
makes
Steer.
Sense. Yeah, I do remember Milo being pissed off at you. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Then I went to Elliot and had a go at him. And I went round and went, right, you happy now? And he went, yes. I went, all right, thank you. And then I went back to the positive. So it's fair enough. But I wouldn't do that. I mean, if Milo was genuinely insecure and not successful, mm-hmm, I wouldn't have said that.
No.
But he can take it, can't he?
Yeah.
He asked for it.
Yeah, yeah. And he literally asked for it.
And he was spiking you.
And he was spiking you. Listen, if he's there, listen, I'll tell you. You like greeting people. I'll introduce you to my lawyer, Milo. How do you feel about that? You can set a camera up in the corner if you want, put your dressing gown on. Well, we're in a go. He's one of my mates. I've only got three in comedy. I've lost one.
You are a comic, I would say, Phil.
Yeah, means I can't get on telly.
But you did do it. You've done telly before. I remember watching the Funds and Games pilot.
I tried rewatching it the other day. It was painful.
Yeah.
I had more fun watching the camera they shoved up my arse the other week. I had more fun watching that on the screen than watching that again. No, it was all right, but it's hard to watch because you just to see all the mistakes and how it was way too scripted, and it makes me cringe a bit that all these lines are. I wrote loads of versions, and when it came to the recording script, I don't think I'd even seen. I was like, what the hell? So. Anyway, so it's a bit painful for me to watch now because I just see it as a real missed opportunity.
Mm. What was that, the vibe of that? That was kind of like...
It was like a kids' show, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was a kids' show in Edinburgh that was like not for kids, but I put it in the kids' section so kids would come, and it was like really inappropriate. But it was, but it was a kids' show, but the kids just saw the games and songs, but all the parents could hear the lyrics of me talk about like a divorce and all the pain and things. And then we'd have like Mick Ferry coming in to tell a story, but it was just pissed and he had a black eye and stuff. And we had a clown at one point, and then it turns out I've booked a clown, no one knows where I've got it from. But halfway through, he's like just dancing in front of the kids, and he takes his shirt off. And, and all the kids go, hey. And then he just puts cream on his hand. I go, great, he's going to do a cream pie. That's a bit like a clown. Then he just goes up to one of the mums and goes, he's not a clown, get him out. So he got like all these things. So it's all that. So we did it for TV, but it kind of, and to be honest, it wasn't bad. It was quite a good building block, but it just, and then it kind of went to a series, and then all these other politics and things. I just basically didn't like the way it was going that way, so I sort of pulled it back. I mean, I regret it massively now. I'll do anything now, literally. Literally, anything. If someone's watching, I'll do anything. I even made fun of some of the terrible TV shows that are on. There's only a few, but some are dog shit, aren't they? Mm. I even made fun of them in my show this year, and I was so nervous about not being asked on them that I took them out.
Oh.
And now, if I'd have known, I wouldn't be able to get on them even anyway. After this. I'd have left them in. In fact, they're going in next year's show. Not that you'll be around. Anyway.
And you slag off podcasts as well. I always enjoy you slagging off podcasts. Yeah. Was that in the show?
Yeah. No, I've only got three, well, two now, two friends. Sorry, Milo. But yeah. Can't remember what the question was. Yeah, Funds and Games, yeah. But that was 9 years ago.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't mind going on telly again. even your crap shows I'll go on. Also, if everyone's on Jonathan Ross now, can't I be sat on Jonathan Ross? Fucking hell, I've seen open spots. He's really beating the gong at the Frog and Bucket on Jonathan Ross, talking about nothing. So it's so embarrassing. You've got a comedian sat there, no one knows, and they go, and they're not even promoting anything. I'm like, what are they there for?
Mm.
Put me in there. I'll promote all my charity work. Taking disabled comedians to venues I'm at so I can fall over them. I don't think that bit's on the podcast, so I'm just making callbacks to a story we tell. Oh, Christ.
It's been waiting a while since you got here.
You need to tell people when you start. I've just come in. I've already told you I've been sat away over 4 hours and I'm not quite decompressed yet. And you're like, right, record, get him. I've made so many mistakes already. Sorry. But yeah. Next question.
You had a band at me and Stuart went to see your show the same day. It was fucking brilliant.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
you had a live band on stage with every day.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that work practically? And basically, how much fucking money did that cost you?
Oh, well, in Edinburgh, it was all sort of like, I'll give you this minimum from like the booker every day.
Mm.
And then it started doing well. So it was like, oh, God, give him the word. So it cost me money, yeah. But and then for the tour, it's like a nightmare. You just can't do it.
Mm.
So
are you having them with you in the tour?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to lose a lot of money. this is the thing about Funds and Games. There's like 12. Every Edinburgh show I do, there's like 12 people in it. So you can't tour it. So I tried to make a show this year. I went, I'll make it so it's just stand-up and I can tour it. And then I went, I'll put a band in it. And I was like, oh, fuck. Did it again.
Because you've had plants in your tour shows and your friend shows and that before. What kind of stuff have you got them to do?
I had there's all sorts really over the years. One year I had a curtain built. I had this thing at the Udderbelly and I'd such a stupid idea, so I thought it'd be funny to have, like, at the end of the show, there's a bit where I go off and then it turns out there's another venue behind me, so the curtain's open and that's, like, the main venue, but my bit's just a small room at the front of the actual main room, and they've been nicking my audience throughout the show, so the actual audience are mostly behind me by the end of the show, and I'm trying to perform to eight people. I'm going, oh, what the fuck's everyone gone? And the curtain opens and it's an improv group behind me, and I've been slagging off improv for the whole hour. It's shit. And majority of it is shit. So it's just me slagging off improv, and then it turns out there's an improv group behind me. But I had to pay to have a curtain put in rail that cost like a grand. I thought it'd be dead cheap. I thought I'd just get a curtain.
Yeah.
And then they went, Mike, don't worry, we'll take it all off at the end. Terrible idea. I didn't make any money. So I lost thousands on that. Oh, God, stupid. But it was quite funny.
That's a good
but
idea.
But impractical.
How did you find a venue that had that specific? It sounds quite specific.
Yeah, so the Udderbelly, we chatted through the rooms and they had like, I think it's called like the White Belly. And it's like, and that's the other thing, because it was an awkward shape. It wasn't just square. So I had to have these curved curtains made.
Aye.
Fuck. And then they had to put the rig in. So they paid for the rig to go in. And then charge me. So I'm not, not that I'm not going to go at the Udderbelly. I mean, I wouldn't go, can you change your venue for me? And then I paid someone to make these curtains. Yeah. They didn't work, so I had to fix them. Oh, fucking, I've still got them if everyone's any curtains. Well,
you can plug them at the end.
Yeah. You've got a cave, because it's the shape of it, the cave front or something. But
did you not pretend, though, that you had a stag do in your audience 1 year or something like that?
Yeah, I played a stag do. I was stagged dressed as a pig. the stag, and then I'd pay him to sort of like hang around for like an hour before the show, so people would see him and go, "Oh, there is a stag." I've seen him in the beer garden opposite the Hive, like getting pissed, like chucking cans on the street. They'd come and get the bag of cans and the pig outfit at the beginning when I was setting up, and they'd go out and just be knobheads and pushing the kids. But then they'd be like, really, in the show, they weren't too disruptive. They were just enough so it would annoy people, and then eventually they'd leave. But it all worked quite well, because it is that kind of thing. You go, of course they're on a stag do, and they've gone to a show and they don't know what it is, and it's just shit and they hate it. And it's like, it's just me going, of course it's a stag doing. Biggest arts festival in the world, and there's someone dressed as a fucking pig throwing a can at me. Of course there is. Yeah, it all fits again. Like you say, with the persona, I think people go, yeah, of course it would happen to Phil.
So, do you not worry that success would not suit your persona? Like, you've painted yourself in a corner.
I don't have to worry about that. Yeah, we all know I don't have to worry about that. You saw the car I rode in.
Did you say that was 50 quid that cost you?
50 quid, yeah.
How the fuck did you find a car for 50 quid?
Well, I'm going to say two words, Liam Pickford.
What did he buy it for? Did he mark it up?
Well, he said to me, he went, I went, oh, I'm going to get a car and I've moved back to Manchester. He went, you could have had my old one. I went, oh, right. Well, he went, well, you could still have it if you want. It's just outside. And he had this old Beetle just rotting outside his house. And I said, well, you know, you can get scrap metals going up. You can probably get 350 quid for that. And he just couldn't be bothered getting rid of it, really. So he said, come and get it. So I went to Bristol, but I didn't know I got COVID on the way. Mm-hmm. So I became a super spreader this weekend. So sorry to all the nans that, well, they've gone. and I got the car, and I went to get the car, and it was this bit, and it looked good in the photo, but I did say to him, make sure the battery works and all this. As I was getting closer to it, I went, he's not opened this for a year. And it was covered in leaves with a flat tyre. And I thought, well, I'll have to give him some money. So I thought, I'll give him 100 quid. Mm-hmm. So I didn't, and I thought, that'll be a gesture to go, look, I don't want to just take a car off you. So I went, look, I'm going to give you some money. And then we turned the corner and I saw it. And I went, oh, fuck, why didn't I wait to say that? And I saw it. I went, this is going to cost me money to get rid of it. And it was just like at an angle like this. And I was just going, he went, oh, really, mate? And I was like trying to leaf out as much, because I hadn't said how much yet. So I was like, well, try and get out as much. I'm not giving 100 for this piece of shit. Yeah, 50, I'll give you 50. Like, that'll do. And then we jump-started it. And we had to, and that was it. It's run for 2 years, though. Aye. It's great.
No problems?
Well, I want to know. the coolant fan doesn't work, so I have to constantly have the hot... the heat on. If I hit traffic, I've got to just sit there melting, going, oh my God. That's why I was saying to you guys, I really don't want to hit traffic on the way there. Because
I'm going to be something like that.
It makes more sense now, doesn't it?
I was wondering why.
Traffic shouldn't be that bad. I'm just sitting there going,
oh, feel bad in the back, sweating.
Oh, fucking hell.
Because you're quite a tall man, Phil, as well. That's quite a beetle car. Is a kind of, it's quite a small.
Well, these ones, quite good on the legroom, but it's such a weird car because it's a 2 litre engine, and it's the same engine as a Golf, really. So it's really funny because it looks ridiculous, but then it goes, like, don't even see Roger Rabbit. But he has a car in that way. It's kind of like when it goes off, it goes like a cartoon. It goes, I always feel it does that. It goes, builds up. I go, oh, God. It will fall apart one day. But
did Hitler not have a Beetle? Was that a mummy?
Yeah, not a bright red one, though. Oh, there's Hitler. Tumbling out.
So why he was too angry, because the fucking killing thing was the one.
So, like, cross spinning. Whoa. Squirting water out.
One of those ones with the eyelashes on the...
Moustaches.
Oh, funny.
Nice Hitler. New jacket, Phil.
Thank you, Speaking of Nazis, it's a bit Nazi, isn't it?
I was actually thinking Elmer Fudd there when you mentioned Roger Rabbit.
Elmer Fudd. I know he was bald. The Elmer Fudd. Cool his hair I've got.
See, when you were doing the Funston Games, you mentioned about you were talking about your divorce. I think that's the first time I've ever seen you perform, and I was fucking howling at you just be like talking about that and venting on stage about that. How true is that? Is that
it's not true at all, no.
Is it based on a relationship of sorts? Or
oh, no, no, no. It was just all fabricated.
But it's just the vibe that's divorced, isn't it?
It's the vibe. I give off of that energy.
Divorced energy. Yeah.
I mean, any relationship that I've failed in has been almost certainly mostly my fault. But I couldn't go on stage and say that. No. Oh, hey, guys, I'm really bad at holding down relationships and jobs. Anyway, feel sorry for me. They go, no, this guy's a fucking idiot. No, it's kind of, well, it all came out of different things. Like, it's all like where you are in life. Like, so the recent set is more, an act is more who I am, mm-hmm. which is because a lot of it was written like when I was in this house share. Mm. It's pathetic to be this age. I mean, why am I driving a 50-pound car? I don't know what's, do you know what I mean? It's like, what is this life really? So it's quite funny. So you sort of build on it and, of course, you exaggerate certain bits. So like, I don't live in the house share anymore. But all that stuff is true from there. There's all the bits in the show are pretty much true. But obviously, you know, you do comedy. You don't go out and say that. People would find it's too depressing if it was the absolute truth. So, yeah. So it's all sort of based on more like my vibe. And bank balance. But, yeah. But there's elements, I suppose, of everything. It's really made me think about it. It's made me sad thinking about it. I'm supposed to be promoting the tour. I don't want to go on it. Don't come. It's a terrible idea.
The show is brilliant, I've got to say. It's very, very funny.
Oh, thank you. That's yeah.
Aye.
It's a surprise, really. Well, it was not a surprise, but it was just fun. I thought I'd just do a fun one and just have a silly old time.
Do you think there was a party because that was your attitude going into it, and then you end up getting nominated? Like, do you think it's almost like, you know, you try all these different elaborate things? And not that your show wasn't elaborate, because it still had a lot of elements.
I'm trying hard not to spoil it here. There's a lot going on.
But like, when you just go, ah, fuck it, I will not care, and then that's when it comes. Like, was that a surprise that you got nominated for you? Or
it was, yeah. It was weird, though. I kind of weird feeling about this year. I think because, like, but I kind of did that with the Funds and Games year, but it'd been so long. And I've always tried, like I say, to do things, but some of them I've always tried to do something different. And sometimes you go a bit, you don't quite hit it right. So like the curtain thing was good, but it only got good about 2 weeks into the show. It was a mess at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But like Matt Ewins and Finn Taylor really helped shape that into what it became. And then other shows, like I did one, Au Revoir, which I really liked, but that was so complicated. So many people, you can't do anything with it. And it's so festival thingy, and then that wasn't ready at first, so when all the judges and that come in, it just wasn't there. So because I always thought you're supposed to build shows, they're so cheap to get into mine, and it's free pretty much if you don't. So I always spend 5 days, because you can't get 9 people together who live in different parts of the country other than Edinburgh. So I'm like, it's always funny, but it becomes what it's meant to be after about a week or so. But this one I thought, right, because the year before I did this show Hedgehog, which I really liked, but it was again a bit too, there's too much. It was all based around this one premise of me pretending. Like, basically, I thought everyone my age is talking about having kids and every comic, because I think I'm the older generation of comics now, like, you know, and it's quite funny to say why. I still think I'm a comedian, but I was trying to figure out why. I was like, why do people still find me that funny? I went, oh, it's because your life is still the same as it was 10, 15 years ago. You're not living the life of a proper 42-year-old man. And that's quite depressing, really. So I was like going, well, what the fuck am I meant to talk about? Because everyone's talking about the kids. So I thought, I'll just pretend I've got kids. Just did an hour about having 2 kids and how much it changed my life. And then, you know, without them, what is it? The whole message at the end is that, like, without having kids, what is, you know, at my age, for me, not for everyone, I get, you know, I'm not saying everyone should have, but for me personally, if I didn't have them, what would I have? Because I'm 42, I live in a house share. I'd have nothing, and they've changed my life, and we're actually getting married to the mum again and all this. And I was like, oh my God. And then it's at the end, and then I do 2 other twists because I thought it's going to be too obvious. But if I do 2 other twists, then people think that is the twist. And then I do this big finale. So they'll go, oh, that's a big, oh my God, there's 3 twists. And then someone comes and goes, telling the truth. And I go, oh, I don't have kids. Everyone, oh, for fuck's sake. So like, yeah. And I go, oh, yeah. And they go, did you make the mixed race again? I went, yeah. He goes, why? Why? I went, I don't know. I just thought it made me look cool. I don't know. I thought, add another. He goes, you know, this is wrong, Phil. I go, yeah, I don't know this. So it like, so that was like the show last year. And then I thought, well, why don't you just, instead of trying to do all that and spend so long trying to lead people, why don't you just be funny for an hour? So that was the idea. And I thought, just be silly and one that I can enjoy, because I didn't really enjoy the other year.
Aye.
Because a lot of it's me crying and like going, oh God, my beautiful. There's all this stuff about going, like, I didn't know I had kids for a year, so I'm going to get into that headspace of not knowing you. And then you find out you've got kids, and why didn't she tell you? And then I had a whole bit about, have you ever met your own kids? And like how you meet a child that's yours, but you've never met them before. Like, how do you introduce yourself to them? Like, oh, hey. And so there's all these different things. And then I started missing them after the show. I was like, oh, I wish I had kids. Don't need that. Don't need that energy in my life. So I thought I'd just have a silly one this year. And I thought, if I've abandoned it, it just keeps it.
Keeps it going.
Keeps it going.
And I'm
yeah.
pretty sure you did do an Elton John song in the show.
We did two, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck you, that place.
Yeah, yeah, fuck you. Yeah, we're back, Jenny's. We sure go, Jenny's after. It'll take us 8 hours.
Did you know, was there no something else? Was there not another show that you pretended something? Because I heard you talk about when you were on the radio. Was that the kids thing, or was it something else? And you had to. They were asking you about, like, some. Thing that your show was meant to be about, but you were only pretending.
Oh yeah, my first one. Yeah, yeah, I pretended I was an orphan. It's my first Edinburgh show before the first. And I'd pretended that I don't. At the age of 30, my mum and dad had told me they'd taken too long to tell me, and told me at 30 that I was adopted. And I was like, why now? And it's because my dad was coming out of prison. But they had to tell me it was going to come back. So it was all this thing. And then I had to go on the radio, I had to go on Radio 5 Live and sit there. So I was doing all the press as if it was true. So I put it through this PR and they were like, and so the whole thing was like all the press and all the articles of me going, I can't believe everyone going, my God, I can't believe you found out. And I was sat on Radio 5 Live with this bloke who had an inoperable brain tumour. And he was talking about this and I was like, God, this is like the brain, and he's doing everything for charity. I'm going, I'm a real piece of shit. I'm lying. And this guy's talking about his brain tumour. I was going, oh my God. And then they went, well, Phil, you've had your fair share of bad news. this guy could die during the interview. He's not there. Like they're going, oh, yeah, well, you think that's bad. Wait to hear my story. And I was going, I was just lying. So in the break, I had to tell him. I went, I can't. I'm not adopted at all. But I didn't tell the presenter. And he was like, oh, he thought it was really funny, luckily. So I was like, oh, God. And then about 2-3 years ago, a friend of mine came up to Edinburgh and her friend was with her and I was chatting and she went, I recognise your voice. She went, have you been on the radio? And I went, yeah, well, I used to have a radio thing. And she went, that's not that. She went, did you ever do Radio 5 Live? I went, no, I've never been on Radio 5 Live. And she was like, I'm sure you have. She kept going, I'm sure you have. She went, did you do a show about being adopted? And I went, yeah. She went, my husband was on the show with you. He had a brain tumour. And I went, oh my God, yeah. And I said, I felt so bad. And she went, yeah, he's still alive. And I went, is he? She went, yeah, it's really awkward. Like, no one knows why he's still alive. The brain tumour's still there, but it's just not killed him yet. And all the neighbours are thinking that he's made it up.
Yeah, he's just pretending.
Yeah, so they all think he's doing the same thing. Both on the show bullshitting. But so, yeah, that was fun.
Where does this instinct come from to fucking make everything up? Like, what? Because it would never occur to me to do any of this kind of stuff. What, like, because actually, and if you think about it, like, you starting off and kidding on your off, and then you do it so long here and they start kidding on your kids.
Be grandkids next to the fridge.
Hello. Oh, God. I miss them.
But where do you think that? What makes you want to do those kind of shows? Would you say?
I think it was like, well, life's boring, isn't it? Really? Yeah. I think. Well, mine is. So why would I want to talk about that? Plus, I'm quite a private person, really. So. I really want people knowing the truth, which is just sit around playing Dead Space 2 again. So yeah, I don't know, really. I just thought, well, I used to like Andy Kaufman and stuff, you know, like that, you know. So I suppose I never wanted to do stand up, so I've never really had any interest in writing stand ups. People who've seen my show will know I'm not having any interest in working on stand up. So I just thought, I never wanted to just do stand-up, so I thought I'd do all these things that I'd find interesting, which would be playing it straight. So like the first one with the orphan one was that nothing, I couldn't do a show, so I never actually got round to doing the show because everything was just going wrong all the time. So like fire alarms were going off and we were being evacuated and I had to do it in the beer garden. And they're going, right, people going, it was raining and stuff, and they're going, where was I? Oh yeah, my mum's dead. And I'll be on a wall trying to get him out. And then once there's this family on, like, and there was like the kids and the husband and wife and sat on this picnic table in the beer garden, like watching. Oh, sorry, guys. I went, have you got a ticket for the show? And they go, no. I go, would you want to fuck off then? You cheap bastards. All the kids were like, fucking asshole. Anyway, my mum's dead. And they're like, so you're trying to do this with a passion of the team, telling the family to go fuck. And all that kind of thing. And then Yeah, and then he'd have like, they got interrupted by the bear show, so I used to pay someone to dress as a bear and fly the bear show every day. Which was so these flyers made for a bear show. And it was, the bear show was Will Duggan in a bear mask coming in a vest that says, "All the sexy girls come up to me," and he just started rapping. And it was just like really vulgar, but it's at the point I'm trying to do the big finale where it's me. It's like a video of me meeting my real dad. And I'm sat outside a cafe. And it's just me sat outside a cafe like this. And I go, and it's like 2 minutes of just silence. And I go, he was late and I don't know how to edit. And it turns out about 3 minutes, I think. And we're just watching it, and then the bear comes in and he just goes, "It's the fucking bear show." And the whole thing is, I've got the timings wrong, and normally we underrun and all that. And then I'd have a fight with the bear outside. But it's fun. But you see all the bear flies around. And I remember someone took a flyer up to Mick Ferry and went, "You seen the state of this bear show?" He put 3 stars on the flyer. And Mick went, "Yeah, it's not a real show, it's Phil's show." And they went, "Oh, right." And he goes, and the quote was, "Almost the best hour of bear-themed hip-hop comedy I've seen this year." So I used to find all that funny. So, and it's just sort of bled from that. And then Funds and Games is just basically the same thing. I was tricking families to come to a kid's show. But then I thought, well, I'll make it so the parents find it funny that they go, "Fucking hell, this is quite funny." And then the kids don't have a clue what's going on. So they're just dancing around and...
Did they get angry, like audience members afterwards, that they were duped?
A few. I think by the third one, like we did. We shouldn't have done the third one. The second one was quite funny. We just sort of built on it and
like
made
the
it.
Hangover or something?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was. To be honest, yeah, probably not as good. It's certainly not as successful. Oh, yeah, it was the third one. We had the third one wasn't good. Had a paedophile koala bear in it. I mean, it crossed the line. We were always straddling the line. This was just basically, we didn't say he was a bit, but basically I go, "This guy, we got funding, council funding, we've got to let this guy on. Anyway, I don't want him on, but here he is." And he just come on, start singing about, "I'm moving into your area. I may be living closer, but it doesn't make me any scarier." And it was like a really good, disco song. It goes, "Dish, dish, 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 I'm moving into your area." And we'd all like harmonise.
It's the new Jump in the Shark, Nox yeah, in the Koala.
Yeah. It was horrible. Yeah, he'd come in and going, and then he'd run off with the bubble machine going, "Bubble party back at my place." And I go, "No, don't be kidding tomorrow." I go, no. Drag him away. So that went over the line. But the other two, we were just doing it that, it was like pretty much the kids wouldn't get the darker stuff. Yeah. And
Were there any parents, though, who didn't appreciate that it would go over the kids' heads and were just angry because they were like, that was inappropriate for children?
Yeah, some did, yeah. Some just hated the koala bear. Even in the third one, we liked him, didn't like the koala bear. Anymore, so, fair enough. But mostly, I think the early days of the second one, because it was just such... Because I didn't have any agent or press or anything. I had to do it all on my own. So there was only like 4 people in the first one. They just walked out. Then we had 8, and then one day all the comedians came. Yeah. So there's 2 families. Of course, they left because there's loads of adults laughing and all these people going, "This is weird." And I was like, "No, it is weird. You're right, Tilly." But then once the reviews were started coming out, they were like, "Oh, we were coming knowing what it was." Mm-hmm. So for parents, it was a chance to sit and watch an actual comedy show that wasn't crap for the kids. Because I made it because I saw the posters for kids' shows and I thought, this looks so shit. Like, they all dressed as dinosaurs going, bleh. And it was always like really weak comics, I thought. I was like, "Is this how you do it, really? You just go in and we just want to be up in Edinburgh for a month, so I know we'll do a kids' show." Mm. And I was like, "I've seen you gig, and I won't even watch you as an adult." Like, the poor kids after. I was like, "Oh no, I can see what you're doing." Like, I mean, there's some great kids' shows as well. I'm not just, my people that I know and friends with. But
just only one friend now.
Yeah. I think this is my problem. I think because I make fun of every type of comedy, no one knows if I like it. I do generally. I just find it funny. People make fun of what I do. Of course they don't. They don't. You can't really. My shows are making fun of what I do. So second guess everyone. So.
There's a lot of slagging off different types of comedy in the news show. Yeah. I would say it's great. I fucking love it, but I don't know if it's that like comic thing, you know.
Yeah, but I don't try and do it. I hope people know, like, I'm joking. Like, even when I'm messing, like, with, obviously joking with Miley, so. But I don't. I admire. Like, I think everyone thinks I like. I don't watch comedy at all. Really, I really don't. I don't really like watching comedy, and I don't listen to comedy podcasts. I said we listen to one about the Wild West.
Yeah.
Fucking pathetic, really. Oh, no, and blow out Brian De Palma's. But so I don't engage with comedy when I'm not doing it. But so I have to sit through when I'm doing shows, like emceeing and things, or I'm aware of certain things. I've seen, you know, obviously you see comedies, you go on. But I wouldn't make fun of... So I don't make fun of... Like, I like things I can't do, really. I think everyone thinks I only want to watch wacky... Like, oh, my God. But I don't like watching that kind of comedy because, to me, I just go, God, I wish I thought of that. Or, oh, I'd love to do that. Or, oh, I have done that. I'm pretty sure they saw me do that. But that's fine. And, so I like watching comedy that I can't do. So I know I make fun of certain types of comedy, but I'm impressed when... I see someone who could like do an improvised rap, you know. Mm. I go, I could do that.
So well, you do do that.
And I mean, I do. Yeah. So things I poke fun at, I like to, I hope people know, like, it's with an amount of affection. Like, it's not, I don't think it's done in a horrible, I think it's done in a playful way. And I think that the joke is generally that I'm not very good at doing a lot of things. So it's a bitterness goes, ah, well, you think you're better. And there was always people more successful than me as well. So it's not like I'm never punching down. I'm always going, this person doing better than me. And I think it's the joke being that I'm just a really bitter comic. So, yeah. So I do sort of poke fun, but I don't really mean, you know, I like quite, you know, like I love Peter Kay. I don't think people would expect me to go, I love Peter Kay's, but I'd rather sit and watch Peter Kay than most of the comics, right? Than Andy Kaufman. I love Andy Kaufman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd watch Peter Kay than Andy Kaufman do an hour. Him reading Chaucer, isn't it?
Wrestling Women or something
like that. Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah. I mean,
fair did you play. Ever watch the Did you ever watch Man on the Moon? I did, film?
I was talking to Nick L about this. That's not a good name, don't click. But we were saying, like, I can't... I watched the film Jim and Andy, and I just hated it.
Jim Carrey, just about his process of becoming Andy Kaufman.
Because Andy Kaufman wasn't like that everyday life. And yet he's going around treating all of Andy Kaufman's friends and family like crap to get in the headspace. But like, they're all going, Andy never spoke to me like that. And and Jim Carrey's running around doing it. I'm like going, no, I couldn't be arsed with that. Just act.
Yeah.
Do the film. Yeah, but it's good. But to me, it's just, I mean, what am I going to Jim Carrey? I mean, he's a great actor. Getting slagging off Jim Carrey.
That's not punching down. No.
Yeah, if you're watching Jim. I was talking about Jim Carrey the other day, of course, I remember, about like Batman Forever and how bad Tommy Lee Jones is in that. Yeah, you hear me, Tommy Lee Jones. No, but his Two-Face is rubbish in that Batman Forever. And it's not really his fault, but it's because he's against Jim. I totally see why, because Tommy Lee Jones is an amazing actor. But when you've got Jim Carrey, who, like, if he went, there's no point even trying to compete with him on, because he's going to blow everyone off the screen, because he's just such a force of nature. And that you've got Tommy Lee Jones going, no. I think I'm going to out-act, and he's going, whoa! It's just like, oh, this is horrible. Just let Jim Carrey walk around doing his thing.
Was there not quite a bit of tension on set between them two, I heard?
Yeah, I think they hated it, because I think Jim Carrey going, whoa! And I think he went, I hate you with everybody. But, you know, can't remember what point it was, yeah. But, yeah, Man on the Moon, yeah. I liked it years, but the more I watch it now, I kind of go, I think since watching that documentary, it's put me off it, weirdly.
Yeah, no, I can see that. It's also weird as well, like, with biopics, isn't it? Because it's like, because there is just loads of footage you can watch of the actual person, and then it's just somebody playing them. It's like, I could just go and watch the fucking stuff.
Yeah, I think the only film I really appreciated the person's like depiction of the main character was JFK.
Aye.
Because you just see him have his head blown off, that's all you see. It's actually JFK. That's it. He was hardly in it. Come here to watch JFK. The most negative part when he has his head blown off. I want to see the real JFK.
I can see you doing that, the French one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And your head,
your
blown,
head
off.
Blown off.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Have you ever had any mad audience interactions, like people have taken it the wrong way? I know you were saying about the parents there and stuff. Like, what sort of people do you attract to your...
Not really. I don't think I've had two. No, not really.
No.
You stole that guy's shoe in Newcastle.
Remember
you stole that guy's shoe in Newcastle? You were comparing.
Oh, did I?
We did a weekend
together. Yeah, yeah.
A guy couldn't take his... He kept having his feet on the stage and you were... ribbing for him for it all night.
Oh, right, yeah, yes, I did. Yes, I saw this. What did I do with the shoe?
I just ran off with it.
Yeah,
you still got it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, if he's not going to pay the ransom, he's not getting it back. Yeah, not really. I'm not really had to. I think because it's done, I think I've let people know it's a joke a lot of the time now.
Aye.
Because I want people to have fun, really.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. I know it sounds like I sound like it's such a... But really, I just want to be funny. And at the end of it, do all these silly things. But ultimately, I want people to go, oh, will you marry me? So yeah, just try to have fun with it, really. And let them have a good time. So come to my tour show. Fucking arseholes.
I know you've worked with him a bit, but I seen a clip of you, your roast battle with Johnny Vegas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I started clipping. I thought I might as well clip the three times I've been on telly. Look, I've got more hair. Yeah, so that was quite fun. I was just quite horrible, actually, because you've got someone that you really like and admire. Mm. I think Johnny Vegas is one of the best stand-up, you know, best comedians that we've had in the past 40 years or so, and then you've got to go up there and go, yeah, your wife left you. It's like, this isn't television, is it, really? But, I mean, again, I'll do anything. you want me to break a National Treasure's heart? I'll do it.
But Johnny Vegas was on your Radio 4 series as well.
Yeah, yeah, it was fun. It was, he's just dead good, isn't he? Like, so you can write, he's one of those people, like Amy Gledhill was in it as well, and it's like certain people you can write something for and you know they'll just make it funnier. Mm. Thank God. Well, certain words and certain turns of phrase will sound so funny coming out of that person's mouth.
Aye.
You know, so there's certain, like, if, right, we had one episode where obviously Johnny's the most famous person in the first series particularly. Johnny's the big star. But it's my sitcom that he's obviously bigger. So we put him in a Dalek for the whole episode. That was the joke. He gets trapped in a Dalek, so you can't even hear his voice. He's going through the Dalek thing. So it's just saying, but you can still tell it's Johnny Vegas, but as a Dalek. But the producers are going, do you not think we should be using Johnny? I went, no, isn't it funny though? You get the most famous person, and it's a Dalek. Just saying that you don't know who it is. So when South Park get George Clooney to play a dog, and it just goes woof woof. It's actually George Clooney in the studio. Not quite that, you know, but
how did you find working with him? Like, was it because, I take it, obviously you're saying he's a big kind of hero of yours?
He's brilliant, yeah. I think, like, after a while you realise people are just people, aren't they? You know, and I think at first, the first few times you meet someone, you're a bit ugh. But then, you know, we all have to go to the toilet. I mean, I don't have to follow you, but I did follow Johnny each time. So, sorry, Johnny, I've just got to get past this fame thing. You need more wiping. I heard it. I heard that. It's a poor wiper. But yeah, and then we did the third series, was really funny because it was, well, ironically, it wasn't. But the, it was without
really Koala. Really, was he meaning you after 3 years, everything falls apart?
I think so, yeah, yeah. But it was like the it's a real gag-heavy sitcom. So it's just like gag, gag, gag. So it needs an audience. But then it was COVID, so they went, we were going to record it without the audience. I went, well, can we not just wait? Because it doesn't make any, the rhythm of it's off if it's just me going, da-da-ba. Because we're all talking in jokes, it's just weird.
Yeah.
So they didn't. We had to record it in like booths and people on Zoom. Excuse me. And Johnny was on his own in a studio in Liverpool. We were in London, all in different booths. And like Alexis Sales over there, Jack D was at home. You've got like Terry Minot was at home. He'd made like trying to make his own sound booth, but the cat kept crawling on it. We're going, this is not right. We're in the BBC radio theatre for the other ones. What's this? And Johnny, he just sat on his own in a studio, just, and it's like you can't have the same rhythm. And and at 4:15 on the first day, it was Mick Ferry went, can you hear an ice cream van? I went, yeah. And the technician went, yeah, it's the ice cream van, comes past about 4-ish every day. And I was like, but you're a fucking sound studio. How can I hear an ice cream van outside? Surely the main thing is be soundproof.
Yeah.
And then the next day at 4:15, we all went waiting and we just heard, duh. I went, oh, for fuck's sake. Is this what it is now? Before it's like, just waiting for the ice cream van to go back.
Write it into the sitcom.
I wouldn't mind that. But yeah, it was great. Yeah, it's just great working with people. And I like working with, I just like working with comics in general. That's why I have loads in the show. Mm. It's better, isn't it? It's lonely doing stand-up.
Yeah.
I think me and Mark even said that after we saw you. Like, hey, look, part of it is a brilliant show, but part of it is you just look like you're having such a good time with your band and everything. And
yeah.
I always feel jealous when I see musicians, like they've got their pals up there with them and we come off and go on our own and it's lonely, but you lot look like you're having a blast and you're making the band laugh, and it's a really infectious thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's that. I think that's the other thing I was just saying about having fun, is that why would you go up and... I just want to have fun, you know. It's like, I love, like, a lot of my best mates are comedians, you know. So so I like hanging out with them. And so it just seems to me to make sense to get them in the show. And, like, I make the band laugh. They make me laugh, you know, as well, and that energy. Because, again, like, if you're doing a show, we've all had ones where it's a bit flat. And it's like, oh, fuck, I know this works because I've done it 10 times and this is just a flat day and then not going with something's off. But if you've got someone behind you and you can get like, fuck, you know. I'll make them laugh. And then that all weirdly bleeds into it.
Yeah.
Because then they go, okay, they're having fun. But if I was just up there on my own, people feel awkward.
Yeah.
Because I've got lines now in my set as well where I just put the audience at ease. Like, after you just say, like, you don't have to worry if it's quiet. Don't worry about me because I'm fine with that. Absolutely. Because it makes the audience more nervous going, oh, God, no one's laughing. But I'm like, I don't mind. It's fine. It's better for you. So I do a whole bit about that, and there's a bit worked in, which I won't remember because it's in the show. But I find that like you say, if you can see people on stage having fun, it makes you have more fun because you're going, oh, yeah, that's what we're meant to be doing. You forgot that, yeah.
No. You said about it being a long life. Like, you've done the circuit for how long, would you say?
I don't want to say.
Wait, a while?
Too long.
What do you think's your worst? How have you found the road and travelling about the country and all that sort of stuff?
Well, I'm a bit, at the minute I'm fed up of it because I've had a cold for about 3 weeks.
When does the tour start? It's not even started
next
yet.
Next Friday. I know. Fed up of it already.
It's better though when it's your tour, isn't it, I suppose, than like just going and doing circuit gigs and all that.
Yeah. Stuff. I'm looking forward to the tour. I'm a bit tired of the circuit now. Mm. Not to be like, I like gigging. You know, I do like gigging, but when you've been doing it for like 15, 17 years, I'm a bit like, surely I've done my time now.
Aye.
I need to get, like, I want to do the tour. Like, that's why I'm excited about the tour. Nervous about the tour, because it's you obviously going, please come with me. But equally, I'm excited because then you go, well, these people are here for me. Not all of them. Some people have got, you know, maybe found a 2-for-1 offer or you know, they've just gone, oh, this looks fun. And then they come along and go, this isn't for me. But generally, people come to those shows because they want to see you. So that gives you an extra, you know, you have more fun with that. But, yeah, but the circuit, you know, and again, I think I've got to become a better comedian over the past 2 years because I used to MC all the time. But now I do sets and I very rarely MC. I think it's really weirdly, after even 15 years, I go, oh, I'm better.
Mm.
It's just made me better because I go, well, this is my time now. I don't have to worry about keeping the night going. Well, you got another act on, or if the act doesn't do great, you have to go, I've got to get them back up. I'll just do my bit.
Yeah.
And I go, I want to make sure they have a great time. And then they go, and in a way, you want them to go, that guy was, I love, you were my favourite kind of thing. I know it sounds a bit competitive, but you want them to go, I look at an audience and I go, they've paid so much money for this. I don't want them to have a crap night because they've paid for the tickets, travel. And whereas a bit before you're like going, maybe they're not my crowd, but now I go, well, you just make them your crowd because it's not fair to go on with the attitude. Yeah, well, they just didn't get me. Or maybe you're a shit. Yeah, well, but years ago, that was my arrogance. I was like, yeah, they just didn't get me, but I was just being shit a lot of the time, you know. And then like, or if a gig was going badly, rather than try and pull it around and just go, well, that's because I'm the comedian's comedian. But now I go, no, just make them laugh, Phil, because that is the joke. That's the job. You know, remember the job. So, yeah, so they've got better. But with the circuit, I've kind of gone, I'm just tired of travelling.
Yeah.
But I'm not like in a bitter, oh, I wish I... But I'm just knackered. Yeah. I just want a couple of weeks off now. And then, but I can't because I'm going on tour. Come and see me look really tired.
Do you think hosting a lot like kind of makes you a wee bit maybe lazy in terms of like writing and turning stuff over and all that kind of stuff?
I think so. I think that's probably why. I think I did it because I just thought, because I did a new show every year. So I was like, well, I'm always writing a new show. And I never wanted to be a stand-up anyway. So I thought, I want to get onto telly and write stuff, and the further you get into it, you go, oh, that's not happening.
Right.
And so if I want to keep writing and being and getting more out of the experience for me as well, I've got to write and do a new set and do all that.
See, if you're doing a show and you're talking about your fake kids and then you do a 15 minutes, are you just going to need to do the material about your fake kids but not do the reveal that you don't actually have them?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I tried that. The problem is I used to do shows where I could never get the stuff in because there were so many bits that were just so in the show. So I could never take bits out and use them. So this show, I was like, I need bits I can take out and put in a set. But yeah, with the fake kids thing, I've sort of changed that now. So I mentioned it in a way, but without saying I'm a dad. But I did for a bit after that show. I was going on stage and doing like 5 minutes. But then I just, quickly go, I don't even have kids. Let's go. Weird, that, innit? So it didn't quite sit nicely in the middle of a 20. We go, oh, we like it. What's it? Oh, he's got to do. Oh, that was weird. Well, stick with me for another 8, and then I'll get off. And go, no, we're done.
But. Have you ever had any like mental things that you want to do and it's just not worked for whatever reason, venues or whatever? Or do you just make it work? Do you just find a way?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. I mean, like, particularly when I was early on, when I was trying to find out what I was meant to do, I think I used to be more of a prop comic and then I tried to get out of that and I couldn't figure out where I was meant to, what I was meant to be doing. And then you get fed up with carrying stuff around. Mm. And plus I was shit at a prop comic, not really a prop comic, but I was trying to be a bit more like, a bit wacky. And I was like, I can't be arsed, I haven't got the energy for that. I did one once and I knew they had a smoke machine, so I tried to do this thing where I was like singing on a, doing like a really sad song, but then I fell off and like really hurt myself, but I couldn't get up, but then the smoke machine enveloped me and it's just me. But you've got like this really sad song playing, but I'm just coughing. But they didn't turn it on enough, so I was just lying on the floor and I just like a bit went, and then I'm going, like, get up, you clearly not hurt yourself. I was like, well, yeah, because they haven't put the smoke machine on enough. So you just saw me carefully land next to a hole in the wall and now everyone's wondering what I'm doing. So it's just like, very awkward. I mean, I finished the bit. Silence. But yeah, there's a few. Yeah, I've had bits that haven't worked, but, you know, you just take them out quick, don't you? They just go, well, yeah, I'm taking risks. Rock and roll.
I heard you talking about a corporate you'd done a while ago as well.
I remember telling my agent years ago, my old agent, before the Funds and Games, we parted ways before that because they didn't like the idea. I said, like, I want to do more corporate. Why can't I do corporates? They pay loads of money. And they're like, we don't really think you're the right act. I went, yeah. I remember I did one and I had to leave through the kitchen. Turns out you're right, but I have not got the energy for a corporate. Because I was there going, who the fuck do these people think they're? Like, just corporates, they just shout at you. Mm. And they're like, and it's all work dues, so they're all drinking. You know what they're like, they've been drinking all day. And you've got to be a really certain kind of act. I think it's a skill. Again, like, I think people think, because I'm like, I couldn't do it, that I hate acts that can do it. But I genuinely think it's such a skill I don't have. And I'd love to have that skill because they earn so much more than me. Like, people think, they go, oh, you've won. I'd rather be them earning all that money than me getting nominated and having no money and not getting on anything. I'd rather do that than that, you know, because that's more rewarding because they've got, like, Smeg fridges, you know, extensions, and I've got a £50 beetle outside. I don't give a fuck if any comedians like me. I don't give a shit, really.
Don't even pay for tickets, comedians.
Yeah, they don't pay for tickets. They're asking for you. I don't even know you or your third wife. Why am I giving you free tickets? So I'm not bothered if you like me or not. Comedians, buy a ticket. They're only a fiver. That's what annoys me. Yeah. I've had to give millionaires in Edinburgh, who I've seen in the Abattoir at one of the VIP bars, have asked for free tickets. I've put their name on the door and I was like, I used to watch you on telly in the 90s and you won't pay £5 to watch a 5-star. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Yeah, of course there's a free ticket. Yes, of course. Please sleep with my wife. Don't have a wife. So I don't know.
The next tour show, is that?
Take my wife, please. I can't remember what my point was. Yes, so corporates. I just wish I could do it. This is such a different skill, and I just can't. I haven't got the energy to just... And I've got better now at biting my tongue, but I think I was just there going, who the hell do these people think they are? They don't think. So I would just shout at them or I think at Sheffield once I ran over the tables and kicked all the food over. And there's a, and there's a, because of these big tables, it's Christmas do, all these builders, and they're going, and they're just horrible for 15 minutes. And Dave Longley sent me the video clip, he filmed it, and I didn't know, and I was there going, and I put online, I went, I'm actually really professional now. He went, oh yeah, I remember. And I went, oh, I didn't know you filmed that. And it's just made you run over the tower. I go, you listen to me, you piece of shit. I go, I'm fucking your shitty city. You fuck you. And kick his food over, and they all drag me off, and they all just start beating me up, and my legs go in the air, and I go, fuck him. And the bouncers come in, I go, oh my God.
That sounds critics like one of
this
your...
is one of his most elaborate pranks.
Yeah, exactly.
Here he goes again.
It's one paid of off 200 bets. Builders.
God, and an ambulance.
Stretcher. <out, like.
laughs> But Andy Kaufman, yeah, right. But yeah, but that was in my younger days. You know, I'm more professional. I'm really trying to like paint a figure of myself as being more professional. But it's really boring when you come on shows like this. You don't want to sit here going, yes, I turn up on time and I do my job and then I go home. And you go, well, I'll tell you about the time I got beaten up in Sheffield. There you go. That'll get me on telly.
Darkville, wasn't it?
Darkville, yeah. I've been drinking though. Maybe Darkville is Phil.
Should have done better than booking Darkville.
You emailed Darkville at blueyonder.org.
I know you've gigged around the country and stuff like that, but have you been based in Manchester for most of the time?
Yeah, mostly.
Because I always feel like a lot of the gigs that you'd like, these kind of like, weird like gigs the outskirts of Glasgow and places around Scotland, the Northern Circuit seems kind of similar to me. Like, can you think any times like or any sort of venues you've walked in like they've just been the complete like worst setup imaginable, just the most unplayable gigs you've done?
Oh, there's some. I mean, we've all had. I had one last night, right, which was fun. Yeah. This is funny
hot
though.
Off
yeah,
the press.
They sent me a clip of the second time it happened at the gig last night, which I put on. It's only like a little short one, but someone filmed it, and it was. I was on stage, and it's in a barn. Like a little barn, not like a big old barn. It was like a tiny barn. And it was like a lovely little audience and stuff. And Dave Twentyman and his wife run these gigs. And they're really lovely little gigs. And they're going, oh, it's meant to be haunted. And it was like, oh, God. And he's like, oh, it's meant to be haunted. And then a fucking bat flew through the audience. Right? And I was like, oh, my God, fuck. And everyone went, oh, fuck. And it was horrible. They went in a hole just behind me. Which you just can't relax. You're going, fucking bat there. And I was going, and then after, right at the end, I was wrapping up, and I mean, it was like a fucking kestrel. a different bat went, fuck, and we all went, fucking hell. It just started flapping around. I was going, oh my God. And the barman was going, ah, and he's just flapping around. I went, this is just rank. Like, but it was funny. But there you go. Yeah, I suppose that's why I quite like the circuit, because you get things that you turn up and you go, well, this will be interesting. And you go, oh, my fucking God, a bat. I'm not even allowed to kill it. Not that I would. I don't want to go around. But yeah, there's things like that. And I did one. I talk about it in my set. There's one I did at a lavender farm.
What's a lavender farm?
It's just a farm that has lavender.
They grow lavender or something?
Yeah, right. It was rank. And it was outside. And this horrible sick sheep appeared towards the end of the set, and it was just horrible. And it's in my, I had it in my show. I still do it in my stand up now and then. I had to clip it for a thing, but you got to clip everything to like a minute and 30. I know I've got to get used to clipping stand up, but I just can't.
Comedian destroys sick sheep.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. But it's like, it's a 6 minute bit. You got to get to below 90 seconds, otherwise people can't be able to watch it. But everything was just going wrong at this gig. Everything was bad. It's like a dual carriageway, literally there. The stage is like crap. Everyone's like just lying on the floor, lavender, spitting. And then a peacock keeps going, kah, kah, kah. I was going, what is my fucking career? And then the sheep just appeared. I went, oh my God, what the fuck is it? It's going, eh. It was so rank. I talk about it, I go, like, it was so disgusting, it put me off wool. I'm like, I can't even wear. And I said to the person running it, I went, oh my God, what's this? And he went, oh yeah, that's lived longer than any sheep should. I was like, oh my God. Okay. I looked at it and I went, oh my God, I think it has. It was going, fucking kill me. I was like, oh my God. And I thought it was looking at me, but then I was like, I think it was looking at the junk carriage where he's going, just let me out the pen. And then I went, well, why is he still here? And then he goes, yeah, well, apparently it costs like £89 to have him put down, so the farmer's just going to wait.
Just to kill him. Liam Pickford's beetle that you got.
So yeah, that was a tough gig. When I turned it on stage, I go, so I don't think your career is where you want it to be if after your gig you have to have a whip around to kill a sheep. Your career is really where. Come on, everyone, another fiver, let's kill it. There you go. We had a happy ending. We raised £89. And I just did it with a brick, kept the money. But that was a gig, and I was just going, what is my fucking... I'm 15 years in, and I'm going to perform next to an ill sheep that's scribbling, going... It's peacock.
I heard you talking about your family seeing you on Russell Howard's Good News, or whatever that programme was.
Oh, yeah.
Was it this
real family this time?
Yeah,
your actual family.
Real family. My family from Kirby in Liverpool, and they went. Well, they sent it to my mum actually. They were like, "Saw your Phil on there, Russell Howard's. We were watching it, and then he came on, and you come on at the end and do 10 minutes, like 5-10 minutes of the stand up." Mm-hmm. And they went, "Oh right." They went, "Yeah, we turned it off. It wasn't for us." And I was like, so they'd watched like an hour of Russell Howard, and then their own cousin came on, and they went, "Yeah." Halfway through, 25 minutes.
Well, my family are big Phil Ellis fans. I've told you this.
Oh yeah,
my mum and dad.
You forced them to come,
and then they loved it. They're going to come again.
Oh great, are they? Yeah, oh great, yeah. We could do with.
I can't get them to shut the fuck up about Phil Ellis.
Oh, that's nice. Well, you've been very supportive and championed. I do appreciate, but I do like joking aside about like don't worry. It is nice when your peers, you know, other comics like you, because and it's so easy in this industry. I think to always go about all the negatives. So many people are going, "It's horrible. It's such a toxic." I actually think it's quite a nice. I've worked in factories. Now that's not fun, but I think generally, and I know of course, like anything, there's people, bad people that do get. But I don't think I don't think we celebrate the nice side of the industry enough. Mm. And I think there's so many supportive acts who have helped. I wouldn't have done anything in Edinburgh if it wasn't for the comedians like yourselves, that, you know, telling other people and coming to see the shows. Because I know I go, I don't watch a lot of comedy. I will try. I just can't. Bring myself to do it. But I'll always try and support other acts. I do try. But yeah, the support from other comedians does mean a lot. And it's why it does well, because everyone goes and talks about it. They come and it creates, and that's actually brings reviewers in. Mm. And the panel people are in there, they hear it through other comedians. They come and see the show because they've said, "Oh, you need to go and see Phil Ellis's." Mm-hmm. So that's how it happens. And if it wasn't for that support, I wouldn't have anything. So it's so much to me.
Jake, part of the reason why comics like you so much is because you're just slagging everybody else.
Yeah, we wish we could be saying that.
We want to be on that side. I don't know why comedians like me. I think it's because I'm just messing about, really. I think I've got like, I don't know. I think if you'd know, then you'll stop being funny.
Yeah.
You don't want to think about it too much, do you? Just carry on and then go, "Oh, I hope people keep liking what you do."
Because it's sort of come full circle with, I mean, you probably don't want to publicly put anyone on blast, but like I remember you talking about
certain theatres or places that, and festivals even, where it's a cool place, but they're not cool. Have you seen the lineup? No, I don't think they're cool comedians. I don't fucking, anyway, but apparently they're cool. So there's little clicks in that, and sometimes you're trying so hard to get on these things, and when you get there, you go, "Oh, these people are lame. I don't want to be here." Mm. It's like when you're at school and you want to be with the cool. I remember really wanting to be with this cool group of people once, and then going out with them all at high school, like to one of the things, and they were the most boring.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, why have I been trying to get in with these people all this time?" And it's kind of a bit like comedy or anything in a way. You always want to be in with a certain crowd. And then you realise that the people you generally hang around with, you hang around with them for a reason, because you get on with them. And you're I know that the Monkey Barrel also sort of straddles the cool thing, but generally all the people there are good people. I like hanging out with them. So the bar in the Monkey Barrel is a nice place to go, because you're hanging out with people you get on with.
Yeah.
But you're not certain bars that you're meant to go to. You get there and you're like, "Oh my God."
Yeah,
100%.
There is something about that, though. I think, like, probably again, similar, like, if you're based in Scotland, you're based in the north, and you do want to get in with the sort of in crowd of London, basically, and that's where all the fucking telly people and all that are. And then it's a thing, and then you just realise, like, it's maybe just, you know, it's not exactly where you want to be.
No, I'd say the thing I would like to be able to talk about more in my stand-up, which is hard because it's always, I think it's hard when you, I'm not saying I'm successful, but I've got a certain degree of, in comedy that I've worked quite hard to get to a level where I know I've got an audience and I can do certain things. But like, it's so, and I will say it, it's a lot harder for working class comedians to make it. And if people go, no, it's not, they're full of shit. Because I'll tell you now, I lived in London for 3 years and I never gigged in London because I couldn't afford to. Because my money comes from doing comedy. Like, you know, I'm only full time because I have to go around and gig for a certain amount of money. I'd love to be able to do all the gigs in London where all the TV producers go and sit, you know, certain clubs where they'll just sit there and watch it, and they pay 30 quid on a Friday. Now, I can't live off that, but the comedians that can are from a privileged background because they don't have to pay for the flat and they don't have to pay the rent because it's all paid for. I'd love to be able to go to some shitty gig in Camden on a Friday for 20 quid and spend the night throwing toast at my forehead, covered in tinfoil, you know, and with the fucking head of comedy from whatever dog shit channel sits there and goes, this is the new face of comedy. I'm going, well, but what about the Bermuda Triangle? I'd love that, right? But I can't. I've got to go to Hull and entertain a stag do so I can pay my rent. You know? So that's it. So if you're going to say that it's not, that there's not a class divide in comedy, then you're just kidding yourself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but there's so many people as well. If I see another posh person do a fucking Kickstarter, you can fuck off. Like, have you not heard the song Common People? What is going on? Get your dad to pay for it. We know he's paying your rent. Yeah. Get him to pay for the yurt at 3 a.m. in Three Sisters. Yeah. Fucking arseholes. Anyway. So, yeah, there's no class divide in comedy. And I'm not acting like I'm fucking, you know, Artful Dodger. I'm not a street urchin from the north, you know, but equally so. Bloody hell.
Yeah, no.
Have I said anything positive? None of this sells the
toys.
That's
actually came off the back of the.
That came off the back of you saying how positive and very circuit it was.
I'm a real two-faced piece of shit. Really love the industry. Fuck you, you posh pieces of shit. Fuck you. And also, I don't think there's any problem with being posh in comedy. By the way, there's a lot of very privileged, funny people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot who should stop. If you ask yourself this, if you had to live, if you could only live off the money you earn from comedy, would you be alive? That's as simple as that. And if you wouldn't be, then stop. I don't care how many sketches like that you do and get 3 million hits. If you can't, if you take all the money you made from comedy over the past year, add it up, and then add up all your outgoings. Now, if your outgoings are more than that, stop. Okay?
That's a public service.
That's it, stop.
And Phil loves by that, that's why he's had to buy a £50 more.
2 gigs in Camden. Cover.
It's a full weekend. God, I'm such a hypocrite. Everything I say, you're right. Oh, I've got to start doing podcasts. On and absolutely any sort of positive, like you say, really positive. I undo it all in like 3 minutes.
Anyway, we should wrap up. Listen, Phil, thank you so much for joining us. You are tour very shortly. You're doing the Glasgow Comedy Festival shortly. What date?
I'm doing the Good Point.
You're at the Stand?
I'm at the Stand on.
I think it's the 9th of March, I think.
Yeah,
I think
let's find out.
Is that Saturday? What
the fuck is it?
Big recommend. Great show.
Yes.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a good show. Come to it, but I'll tell you when to come.
Are you doing Edinburgh as well? Oh, you're up.
I am.
So, I mean, cut this, just like we've had to cut half the fucking episode.
Damn you, Gift Gaff! Come on! Have you heard the voicemail on Gift Gaff?
No.
It's
so funny. Because I have to ring it. Mum was always going, your voicemail's really weird. And some people think it's me, and you ring it up, and it's like, yeah, little gift gaff. Some bloke. He's like, yeah, Phil can't get your message at the minute. He's fucking busy. He might get, probably got no credit.
Phil, you're March the 9th, Glasgow.
Yes, March the 9th.
And then Edinburgh is...
On the 2nd of March, I'll be at the Monkey Bar in Edinburgh. But on the 9th of March, I'll be in Glasgow at the Stand. What a show. And my God, you're really pleased too. Particularly to Glasgow, quite a big room.
It's a strong recommend for us. It's a brilliant show. Fellas, funny as fuck.
The band will be there. He's hemorrhaging money. Please do.
My God, yeah. I've got the full band in the Scottish gigs, so please do come.
We'll have to put an extra stage in for them.
And if you're a millionaire, just give him a message and he'll put you on the door for free.
Yeah. If you're a big in the 90s, drop me a DM from your mortgage-free house and I'll stick you on the door. God forbid you pay a minimal fee. But thank you so much for having me. I'm sorry I've talked shit for an hour.
No, that's what we were. Where else can people find you, Phil? Just online?
Yeah, John, I nearly made that shit joke then. Ooh, in your garden. I saw another comedian go, well, if you want to follow me, ooh, I'll be in the car park after the... Oh, stop. It's social media now for 12 years at least. 12 years we've had this joke. And you may think you've updated it. You haven't. You may think you've put a twist on the follow me, I'll follow you. You haven't. We've heard that one so many times. It's not new. Follow me at www.finaliscomedy.com. Don't follow me there, just go on there and buy tickets. The website is terrible. It's like
it's under construction, I imagine.
It's pretty much like it's like all my video clips. Like, if you want to purchase the full version of Windows Movie Maker, but it's based on my website. They just went, oh, so it's going to cost this much to do it. I went, no, forget it. I'll just do a Wix one. And then they went, well, here's the. And I was like, no, that'll do. I'm happy with that. You know what it is. Do you ever go on anyone's website?
No, websites are done.
Exactly. No. So there's only a place to get tickets. I'm not going to spend ages trying to merge my photo into the background. My photo's this anyway. You'd be disappointed if it looked good, wouldn't you? Look, I'll show you on the thing. It's horrible. I took it up there and I was like, that's the front page. My first website. What's the point of trying to make that more high red? Anyway, please come.
Right, we'll follow him on socials now. We'll put all the links in the description. As ever, just please remember to like and subscribe on YouTube. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Get it to us your street mates.
Click that button. Go on, like and share.
Follow us, you know the drill.
Follow us, we'll be outside after the show. Don't know what that is. So tired.
Great. Thanks a lot. Tune in then, guys, and we'll speak to you.
Cheers, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, bye. Thank you.